And we've seen many slides already.
这里是奈及利亚,
that's Nigeria.
那这是Togo,
that's Togo.
这是加纳,
that's Ghana.
这是Liberia.
That's West Africa.
东非就是Kenya.
East Africa with Kenya.
Uganda.
我们这个策略是333的。 Our strategy is based on 3 plus 3 plus 3.
等一下，下一堂我们会从使徒行传来看圣灵的工作跟人的计划。
Next section, we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit plus the plan of strategy of men.
你这个，我本来想先想，我本来想说先上，但是这两个我们常常会说圣灵的工作，你看，什么样人好像没有用哈，对不对？
When you talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, it seems that man becomes useless.
让圣灵来带就好。
As long as we let the Holy Spirit lead us.
那有另外一方面说，现在科技这么发达了，现在这个组织这么好了，你还停在山洞里面热心。
On the other hand, how come that you know the technology is so advanced, you know, the organization structure is now perfect?
到底圣灵的工作还有人的计划？ 是对抗的吗？我们常有时候讲到对感觉，让你感觉对抗了，对不对？
Sometimes when we talk about it, it seems that the work of the Holy Spirit is in conflict with the plan of man.
那不会是对的。
Because they're not in conflict.
如果不会，我才继续讲下去才来用嘛，是不是？如果叫圣灵来工作的话，你这个策略是你想的嘛，是不是？
So you have to agree on this point. You have to agree on this point first, but otherwise there's no point in continuing because we are thinking of human strategies. So until now, you know, it's I have not yet seen any visions or heard any voice.
那三年准备,
3 years of preparation.
譬如说,
for example,
我们很实在例子的,
practical example.
现在有那个三大人是不是? Botswana的信徒, 如果我讲错了你们更正了, 那这是我们在开会的时候的, 一个计划就是了。这是事实。
This is a practical example. This is what we have been discussing in meetings. For example, in Sandalon, we have a brother who originates from Botswana. And so in Sandalon, we have someone who came from Botswana. Now he is a member. And he has relatives there.
那现在我们就从现在开始，我们已经昨天做成记录，请我们的先道族跟那个弟兄联络，然后他来跟这边联络，用三年时间来联络。
And so now we have a 3 years plan that is asking our evangelical department to contact the brother, asking the brother to contact his relatives at home.
所以联络就是说他。 就这个跟我们只是计划而已，那个不编入预算或是什么，就是联络，看他要回家嘛，对不对？看他那边的情况怎么样，把那他回去之前呢，把那个什么传单啊什么带进去，啊，是不是有人有意思，用三年来联络，就是这样联络联络书信啊。
And so for the next three years, we plan that, you know, whenever he goes home, you know, he needs to see what the situation is like. He will bring leaflets and booklets and pamphlets to there. And so the 3 years, we're just communicating to and from. In the Western world, when we want to contact someone, we always say, it can be done in 2 minutes.
从肯亚联络到坦桑尼亚，我们今年哦，已经联络了三年多了。我们今年才要正式的下一批次人那个照计划了，就是哪个传道，福华传道，啊，福华，哎，福华，我们会进去，已经三年多了。
So we have been contacting.
具体在做的了。
So for the past 3 years, or three or more years, we have been contacting people in Tanzania. It's only this year that, according to our plan, then Preacher Fukhua will actually go and visit them.
So, 我们的三年联络,
3 years of contact.
我们现在已经三年完了, 今年要进入到那个坦桑尼亚。
Now, this year we should be able to go to Tanzania.
那现在开始又新的目标就是Botswana。
Now a new area would be Botswana.
因为是有那个接触点。
Because there is a point of contact. So that we have this idea.
那你说这是人的想法还是圣灵工作, 我们就是照这样做就是了。
You cannot say whether this is the work of the Holy Spirit or man's plan, but we just plan it like this.
那再接下来就是南米比亚。
Yeah, then we have Namibia.
也是要联络。
We need to contact them.
为什么?
Why?
因为有那个一个弟兄，他是在南非，后来他电关了，他现在到南米比亚来。
There was a brother in South Africa. He used to have a business in South Africa. Now he closed and moved to Namibia.
那这个是台湾。
He is a brother originally from Taiwan. So we need to start contacting people in Namibia. Then in terms of Botswana, it starts in a local brother in the United Kingdom. And 3 years, after 3 years contacting, we would develop the area for 3 years.
可能有时候会更长，这个是只是这样的想法而已，才有个目标一直走嘛。
Maybe it needs more time, but at least this is our initial goal.
那接下来就是三年再建设。
And then we build up for the last 3 years.
那在建设里面就是跟你们谈的那个什么阿姨那个，就是建设的时期了，但这个更难。 三年只是说设一个 foundation 而已。
So in terms of building up the church, that is something that I mentioned previously, like RE work, etc.
那慢慢的就交给他们。
Then building up the after building up the foundation, then we have got to hand over to them, to the local people.
这是我们这整个的最非洲的一个工作方向策略的一个概念，这样。
So this is our major outline of our vision or strategy for Africa.
所以从肯亚，你看肯亚、乌干达，现在坦桑尼亚。
So from Kenya, we went to Uganda. Now we're going to go to Tanzania.
莫桑比克现在这是那个什么，那个 Brother Soko 那边来的，也有信息。
Now also in Mozambique, that's where my Brother Soko come from. We have received message now.
桑比亚其实那个。 那个陈传道他们有去那边，已经有去那边开拓过，只是现在没有 follow up 而已。Actually,
Zambia, we have started to develop it, but there was no follow up.
所以我们整个的大想法是从这边东非迈向南非来。And
so our idea is really from East Africa, we will work south.
那南非呢？你看 Botswana 是往上的。
So in terms of South Africa, they will go north. So one day it will be interconnected. Likewise in this side.
从这边，然后，哦，Nigeria,
from Nigeria.
然后从南非这边，那个南边。
And also from South Africa, going up.
但是因为中间这一带呢，其实话语区很大，比英语区大。
In actual fact, French-speaking countries are more than the English-speaking countries. The middle part will be the French-speaking countries.
英文区，我们是谈我们英文区，英文区那个，若这里能够下得来，这边能够上得去的话，那整个什么非洲的英文区就感谢神，就我们这一代人做得了，做不了，是不上，我们尽量做。若以这样的看是怎么带领啊，这个没有办法讲，怎么样的。
It's impossible to say what will happen, depends on how God guides us, but it is our aim that, from east we go down to south, and then from the west we go down south, and so that the whole thing will be connected together.
So, 这样看起来，目前的那种计划只是怎么样？撒哈拉沙漠以南的。
And so presently, we are talking about sub-Sahara areas.
以北的就是什么？那个回教区了。
Because north of the Sahara Desert is all Muslim countries.
到目前就是 AMCE， 我们说 AMC 有 AMCF、AMCE、AMC 就是那什么 Africa Mission Committee，E 就是那个 English。 到目前我们这个撒哈拉沙漠以北的还没有一个什么。我用平常话讲，还没有个 image， 还没有概念。有想过，我曾经在这个埃提阿伯 Ethiopia 哈换飞机，我坐在机场写了一个自己的文章啊，想说古时啊，那个什么埃提阿伯的太监不晓得往哪里去了。
I personally thought about developing and the countries north of the Sahara Desert.One time when I was transiting in Ethiopia, I wrote an article and talk about don't know what had happened to the eunuch.
这幻想曲啦啊，我也不是现代的菲利啊。
And I also say that, oh, I'm not a modern day Philip.
不是啊。
I'm not.
因为你是坐在那个候机室里面的空想。
Because you're just imagining in the transit launch.
因为菲利，我们知道是被圣灵提去传一传，都要提走了，也没有啊，圣灵没有把我提出去啊。在墨迹室里面呢。
We know that Philip was taken up by the Holy Spirit to go and preach, and then he was taken back again.
所以是有想。
Didn't happen to me.
这语言啊，什么差，我不知道，看是怎么带。
可是那边政府是不是能不能传给那些回教？
好像是不行。
So in terms of the Muslim countries, it's difficult to preach.
So there's no freedom of religion in the north then, when the Muslim countries.
This
is Muslim. I'm saying it's no freedom of religion.
So it's only Islam. So actually, the table we're talking about is the table in Sahara Desert. They say it's a black table.
So when we talk about Africa, we're talking about the Sahara regions.
好，这就是我们的专题里面第三部分。
And so this is the third session of our topic.
第四部分。
For the fourth topic.
就是非洲的日常生活。
We'll talk about the life in Africa.
那就来。怕死啊！不是，这我们事先都讲。
有多少时间？
讲到大家烦了。
啊？
不是这个时间要控制一下，因为我时间不是太
多。对啊，所以要知道你打算。
我们到几点下课？
下课到十一点了。
十一点了。
十一点了。
十一点了。我三十分钟讲得完吗？
没问题啊，多也多讲一下。
不然，基础三十分钟，如果大家有兴趣再讲到下课，如果三十分钟之前大家没意思了，我们就讲下一个 topic， 这样好吗？
啊 ，I'm under strict instruction to finish this in 30 minutes. Okay. Right. 啊，
好
的。
慢慢讲，讲到下课好吗？
Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I speak. I was told upon my arrival, so I haven't prepared anything, and I didn't bring anything with me, because I never realized this, I have to do this. That's true, I'm telling the truth. Just talk about, you know, in terms of a volunteer, you know, the preparations and how we equip ourselves. And this is from a very worldly perspective rather than the spiritual thing, you know. Because, so I'm going to talk about something more relating to our physical body rather than our spiritual need. Okay, and as Preacher Young said yesterday, as I admit to him yesterday, you know, I'm a man of little faith. So we're going to talk about more on preparing ourselves physically rather than going everything, just march in by faith and do this and do that. So I will say this disclaimer now that anything that I said, I will not ever be responsible for anything that you either do or not do as a consequence of what I tell you. So and whether you do or not do, I will not be responsible. So I think that basically covers everything. Right, okay. I'm going to divide it into a couple of parts. In the beginning, I'm going to talk about the trip preparation. And then I'm going to talk about the actual trip itself. And then the last part, hopefully, if we have time, we talk about some things that we may have to be aware throughout the whole process. In preparing the trip, obviously, or rather, hopefully, you will accompany some preachers or some full-time workers who will be doing it. So please, although this sounds very obvious, but because I know that some of you don't travel a lot and some of you are seasoned travelers, so please do bear with me. That, you know, do sort of liaise with the pastor beforehand and make all travel arrangements. You can either go alone and arrive there, hopefully, after the full-time minister has arrived. So they will get you at the airport, or they will wait for you at the airport. So you have got to make travel arrangements beforehand, and particularly now through the internet, you can book quite cheap travel arrangements, and the earlier you book it, the better it becomes. So price-wise, obviously. And so the arrangements, so you have to liaise closely with your team or co-workers to make sure that everything is done. And one of the major things to be aware of is your passport. Okay, although it sounds obvious, but make sure that your passport has not expired and you do have enough pages on the passport for stamps to be stamped. Reason being, for example, if you go to apply for a visa, if you go to Africa, they love to stamp your passport in immigration. All right? Okay? So if you only have two pages left, blank pages left, my recommendation really is to get a new one. Okay? And for visa, right? Depends on whether, on your sheet, you do can put down indication whether how long you want to go, okay? If you just want to go in and out, all right, just go to one particular country, obviously, you just applied for a single entry visa. But if you want to go anything longer or just in case and you don't mind paying that little bit much more, then I always recommend multiple visa, okay? Because when you apply for a visa, they always ask you whether you want a single or multiple. And I always apply for multiple, just in case I need to leave the country. Just in case I need to pop over the border and come back again. Whether you go to East Africa, Kenya, you might need to pop over to Uganda. Whether really go deep into Uganda or just across the border. For example, Busia, half the town is in Kenya side and half the town is on the Uganda side. You still need to go for immigration control. Or in West Africa, if you want to go from Ghana, just pop over the border to Togo, for example. I mean, it's a land transit, okay, but still, you would need the appropriate visas. For Kenya, it is a tourist country, so if the worst come to the worst, you can get the visa on the spot. Kenya is a very funny country because it keeps on changing its rules and regulations. I've been to Kenya many times. Sometimes I do need a visa, sometimes I don't. Sometimes the whole plane thought that they do not need a visa. When we landed, there was someone standing right in front of us and says that everyone needs a visa. And everyone was shocked because everyone was told that they don't need a visa by their respective country. You know, so they do tend to change the rule quite frequently. So make sure that you are up to date with things like that in terms of visa. One thing that you have got to be very careful in terms of visa as well is its validity. Okay, sometimes it, particularly in Ghana, it will show that it will be valid for 60 days or 90 days from the date that they give you the visa. So if you apply the visa well beforehand, by the time you arrived, it's already, well, I wouldn't say expired, but you need to explain yourself, etc. So please be aware of things like that. It does happen sometimes, all right? As I said, I'm a man of little faith. So I do get travel insurance. I mean, just in case you need to be repatriated, either as a living or dead person, someone will... No, I mean honestly, I think travel insurance is a very good idea. I mean, because I travel a lot, so I have annual travel insurance, but depends on who you are and where you are and what the intention would be. You might want to consider travel insurance. And for that reason, because you're getting travel insurance and because of the ease of going in and out of the country and also through immigration and the application for visa, it's always a good idea to say you are going there to visit or tour. Okay, particularly in your case, it would be you are going for visit and tour anyway. So I mean, you're not telling a lie anyway. Some countries, particularly Nigeria, they are not very happy with people who say, I'm going to visit the church, or I'm a missionary, or things like that. Okay, they might not be too happy with that. So the safest option always is tour and visit. And if you need, and it's very rare, I've never yet encountered it before. I've done it once in Liberia when I want to go to Liberia, but that's a different story. But for most of you, I think it's very rare that they would need letters of reference. But just in case they need it, then you need to contact whoever will be going with you to arrange for the letters. But I don't think you ever need it. But they probably would like to have some kind of local address, and you know, local address will be available because all our churches are registered and we have local address available for you to put on forms if necessary. So you need to find that out as well. Right. As we said, I think it was yesterday, Pretty Young, immunization, that was one topic that comes up very often during lunch, during meal break, okay? The one thing that you must have is yellow fever, okay? Yellow fever is a must wherever you go in Africa, right? So you must have that. And it will cost you, but they will give you a very nice looking certificate in terms of a very yellowish booklet. It's yellow fever, so they locally, it's always called the yellow book. Okay, it's just a booklet, but it has to be you must obtain a booklet that is internationally recognized. Okay, it's a certificate, it's a form of a certificate. So don't just go to your local family in UK, just don't go to your family doctor and ask for a thingy. You need to go to a recognized clinic who can issue you with a proper yellow fever sort of certificate. So that it proves that you have done it. They will record the badge number, who's done it, where you have done it, etc. Okay? Sometimes in immigration and health control, they do ask for it, and that is a must. It will be valid for 10 years.
Are you okay.
Not
getting
your
GP?
Your GP will not give you yellow fever. You will go to a special travel clinics to get it. In the UK, you will have to go to a special travel clinic to get it, and you have to pay for it, I'm afraid. I don't know how much it is. I got mine ages ago, and every country and every city is different. Okay? So you have got to find it out for yourself. I can't do all the research for you.
How much do you pay?
It's the same question. I'm not going to answer that.
How much did it cost?
What?
Yeah, that's what he asked. He didn't want to answer.
Yeah. I can't answer how much it costs for you because each city is different.
General.
Okay. Why I don't want to answer it, because simply, I got mine in 1997. It cost me £30 from a British Airway clinic.
Thank you.
Okay. However, subsequently, I know that some volunteers in the same city, that's Edinburgh, where I came from, they got it for £15 from another clinic. So because it is a private thing, okay? Because it is a private thing, it they can charge whatever they want to charge. When I first went, when I first went in 1997, there was only one clinic in Edinburgh doing it, so I have no choice. But more, the poor, because world travel, that's why I hire you. No, because you know, more and more people travel, so more and more clinics now cater for this. You know, in 1997, before, you know, few people go to all these far-flung, rural, remote expeditions. So only, you know, a few clinics would do that. But now, you know, more and more people want to go instead of going for Disneyland or whatever. You know what I mean. Okay. Apart from yellow fever. Okay, yellow fever is a must. Okay. My recommendation is talk with your doctor to see what else you need, because all of you are all medically different from me, right? Medically speaking, okay? But I would definitely recommend typhoid and any form of hepatitis. Okay, that I think is strongly recommended. Okay? And then you have the options of meningitis, rabies, polio, you name it, whatever. I mean, if your arm is up to it, then you know, you have, if your arm is up to the jabs, then that's fine. You see, in terms of UK, then you can talk to your GP, see whether you can do it free on the NHS. Yeah. But, you know, for Americans and different people, you know, that's why I want to generalize it rather than just talk about GP, okay? But yeah. This is my recommendation. Yellow fever is a must. Recommended, highly recommended is typhoid and hepatitis A, B, and et cetera, et cetera. And then the optional depends on, then it depends, okay? Also, if you are going to go, okay, beforehand, talk to your doctor about anti-malarial drugs. Now, I'm going against Preacher TK and I will stick my head out. I will stick my head out. Because I do not, I do not agree on record with his his way of dealing with malaria. Okay, it is recorded. It doesn't matter. I mean, I said it. I'll be responsible for it. I don't mind. You know, because that is my firm belief. All right, malaria is prevalent in Africa. In Africa, okay, it is a big problem. Apart from AIDS, which kills the most people in Africa. This will probably rank the second, okay? A lot of people die from malaria, okay? And it's very serious problem, okay? Of course, if you, unlike me, had a lot of faith, then what you do is up to you. But anti-malaria, now malaria is something that mutates all the time. But at the moment, the two most effective drugs are applicable to two different regions. In terms of the regions that you will likely end up with, it is going to end up, you will probably end up a drug called Larium, L-A-R-I-U-M, okay? Now, the other drug is also applicable, but it will not be so effective. Having said that, no drugs is 100% effective in any way, okay? So we're talking about in the high 90s in terms of percentage. The other drug, we're talking about 70 to 80%, all right? For Larium, the problem, that's why TK doesn't take it, because he is a microbiologist and he knows the problem with it. And there are problems associated with Larium. The recommended dose is to take it, the Larium is taken once a week, so it's a tablet once a week, okay? The recommended way of doing it if you have taken it before is to take it 1 week before your trip, alright? So take one tablet 1 week before you embark on your trip. During the trip, every week obviously you take it, and then you take it for 4 weeks after you return, alright? That is the recommended dosage. Because you need time for the drug to be effective in your body to build up the resistance to it. And then because malaria do sort of have an incubation period, okay? So they recommend 4 weeks after your trip ends. Even after that, they said within a year of your return, if there are any symptoms whatsoever, you should go straight into the doctor. But that's another story, obviously. Now, the problem is, if you are not used to malaria, if you have not taken Larium before, I always recommend, and the doctor, that's what the doctor tells me, I've asked a lot of doctors, and they all tells me that normally you take it 1 week beforehand, but however, if you are taking it for the first time, try and take it 2 or 3 weeks beforehand to see whether there are any severe side effect. If you discover side effect before you go, there is still time to do something about it, okay? But if you discover side effects after you arrived, I'm sorry. Then you have to pray. Okay. Side effects mainly is neurological. Okay, so that's why TK doesn't like it. Okay? That's why TK doesn't like it. And for some people, it does have some rash or things like that. But the most severe side effect is all... Okay? So... Yeah, I'm alive. Thank you very much. That's why I'm a bit nuts, you know? No, okay. I mean, joking aside. I mean, because any drugs, okay, you have got to be aware of side effects. It is an individual thing, okay? So please do consult your doctor. If you decide to take some drugs, please do consult your doctor and take adequate precautions. The other drug is not so effective and you have got to take it every day instead of once a week, okay? But it is more the other strain. It's more for the other strain of material, the other strain of malaria, rather than the one that we will probably encounter, okay? So that, you have got to be very careful. And it's always advisable to check the CDC website anyway, okay? Just to keep yourself up to date. For those who are not in America, CDC is the Center for Disease Control in America, which is a very, very well-documented website. Gives all kinds of information if you have the time and energy to go through it. Right? Okay, so that is immunization and medical advice. All right? Now, I think that's about it before trip. And of course, prior to the trip, you have got to buy all your necessary, all the things that you probably need. Try and get it beforehand. You can probably get it locally, but I mean, you don't want to spend half your day scouring for this and for that just because you've forgotten to bring something. So make sure that you bring all the things that you need with you. That brings me to the trip itself. First of all, luggage. The first time I went, I packed everything except the kitchen sink. Honestly, I don't know what I will see, okay? Sorry, that's a British joke. Okay, for our American fans, I do apologize, right? Right? I'm not going to explain that then. Right. The first time I went, I didn't know what we encountered, okay? I wasn't given much information. So my luggage ended up with 26 kilos, right? Okay, 26 kilos. Over the years, I gradually reduced my load, literally. Now I travel around between 6 to 10 kilos, okay? So normally what I do now, although 6 to 10 kilos, basically I just put everything in a backpack and it stays with me at all time, okay? But however, apart from your personal belongings, if you have any spare capacity, do try to bring something for the local brothers in terms of leaflets, you know, all the church stuff, you know. Of course, you can bring a lot of money with you, but that's another story. Okay, so I mean, bring some church literature, textbooks, RE textbooks, hymn books, and things like that, if you have the capacity to do so. Because, I mean, if particularly our American friends, they've got unlimited, you know, in terms of weight, luggage-wise, you know. So, I mean, it's easier. For us in Europe, you know, we're limited to 20 or 23 kilos, so we have a limited...
I think we're limited to 20.
No,
70,
76.
See? You lucky people. You lucky people. Anyway, what I'm saying is, if possible, if you have spare capacity, do consider, you know, bringing something along. And Preacher Cole is one who breaks the record at all times. He always breaks the limit every single time. He brought a lot of used clothes for them. Okay, so he just jam-packed his luggage with used clothes. And him, he himself, he's even better than me. I think his luggage is about 2 kilos for himself. No, his package is even more compact than mine. Anyway, that's something else. Anyway, so
I don't
you.
Think I wash your clothes every day.
No.
Yes.
The point really is why. You will be on the road. You will be on the road, okay? And unlike you can put everything nicely and they will store everything nicely for you, it will be just either on the top of a car or in the hold, which would be extremely cramped. And if you're on the road and you're changing hotels or accommodation every day, okay? And if you're walking and if you are traveling, you do not want to drag a 30-kilo luggage behind you. You do not want to do that, okay?
So you prefer backpacks?
I personally prefer backpacks.
Okay.
Because for me, I can just put it on and go. The thing is, now we have suitcase with a trolley style, okay? But it's not very applicable because, I mean, if it is on a concrete surface, that's fine. But if you're on a dirt road, it doesn't work. Right? Or dirt track, rather. Not road. Dirt track. It's not even a road. Then it won't work. Okay? There are two alternatives. Either you carry it yourself, or you get someone to carry for you. Okay? My style is, I always, like Preacher Cole, we always like to carry our own stuff. Some preachers, they always rely on other people to carry. But even, I mean, do have some sympathy on people who carry stuff for you. I mean, if you hang your luggage to them to carry, you know, 6 kilos for them or 10 kilos for them is obviously lighter than carrying a 20 or 30. Anyway. Right, okay. So please pack your luggage as light as possible, as compact as possible. Okay? In terms of equipment, what do you need to bring? First of all, first and foremost, very, very important, mosquito net. Mosquito net. You must bring a mosquito net. Now, I can spend half an hour talking about mosquito nets alone. Okay? Yes. But basically, there are different shapes and size of mosquito net. All right? Anyone use a mosquito net before?
No.
Right, okay, apart from those well-seasoned travelers. Okay. If you have not used a mosquito net before, right, my recommendation is learn how to put it up and dismantle it and pack it back into its own bag well before you start your journey. Okay? There is art concerning how to put the mosquito net up and how to put everything back. Whatever you buy in a shop, if they're heavily packaged, once you take it out, you find it impossible to put it back into its original box, right? It's the same idea. The mosquito net, once you put it out, it's a big thing, obviously, because you need to cover you and the bed, right? Okay, but if your if your luggage is small, whatever, it normally comes with its own bag. Well, you've got to learn how to roll it up and shove it and put it back into it. And more importantly, you must learn and be skilled in putting it up. Okay, if you go camping, the first time you go camping and you think it's easy to put up a tent, and you will never have a good night's sleep the first night because that tent will definitely not be up properly. It's the same with the mosquito net, okay? I'm telling you now. I don't want to say I told you so, right? Mosquito net. There are different ways of putting up different what shapes, okay? Most of our preachers like to use a square one which covers the bed like a big box. I use a pyramid one. Basically, it's a triangular one. It's smaller and it suits me fine. So find something that suits you and try and sleep under it and to make sure that you're comfortable with it. You do sleep under the mosquito net, you do not sleep on top of the mosquito net, believe it or not. Facts. Okay? And before you go, try and first time you buy a mosquito net, maybe it's already done, but for me, okay, every time I go well beforehand, I would impregnate it with an insect repellent. Okay? So it's double protection. Mosquito net, that's why I can talk half an hour on this because they've got different shapes and sizes, different ways of hanging it up, and okay, different mesh sizes, how big the hole is, the advantage and disadvantage of it. But I always recommend impregnating it with the appropriate insecticide. That's double protection. Apart from stopping the mosquitoes or insects flying flying through the net, okay, you're always preventing them to come near it. Okay, so that's even better, not just approaching it. Because, trust me, the mosquito, okay, they can, if it is not impregnated, okay, if you, for example, if this is the net, okay, and somehow your feet or your hand is sort of, you don't know what happened when you sleep, honestly. You know, sometimes you roll over and then your skin is beside the net, okay? If it is not impregnated, what will happen? The mosquito can still be outside the net and they can still give you the sting. Do you see what I mean? Because there are holes. Right, okay? So, please, okay. I know what you're thinking. Right? Right? So, if you impregnate it, it's sort of double insurance. Right? Alright? And if you impregnate it, because it's not just mosquitoes that you're trying to prevent. When you tuck the mosquito net under your mattress, you're trying to prevent all other creepy crawlies from sort of climbing onto the bed. Excluding those are already on the bed that you can't do anything about. But however, for those who are not yet on the bed, you're trying to exclude them, whether they're flying in or crawling in. Alright? So, that's mosquito net. So it's not just for mosquitoes, it's for also other insects, where applicable, obviously. Right? And on that note, bring some kind of covering that you sleep on. In the first few trips, I bring a mat with me. But eventually, I think that's too bulky, so I just simply bring a bed sheet, a flat sheet, okay? I normally bring a double one. The reason being, okay, you don't know what mattress you sleep on. You don't know what is living or, you know, you are the visitor. There are something already living in the mattress itself, okay? So, and sometimes when you go to other people, particularly living with members, you know, they might not be able to provide you with a clean set of bed sheets anyway, because you know they may only have one set for themselves or whatever. Okay? So I bring my own bed sheet and I bring a double one so that when I sleep I fold it over. Okay, if it is hot weather I just sleep on top. All right, so it prevents, but it doesn't. There's no guarantee, but at least it stopped the majority of bugs or whatever originally in the mattress coming up. Okay, but however, hey, that's fact. Okay. But if the weather gets a bit cool at night, sometimes it does, then I can sort of go tuck myself inside, okay, as a sleeping bag. So I get, you know, it doubles up as my quilt, as my blanket or whatever. Okay? Right? You understand? Okay. Right, so that's the bed sheet or mat. Beach mat will do, but I mean, that's far too bulky, and if they're plastic, I mean, it just makes you sweat more, basically. Okay, unless you get the bamboo ones, which are bulky and impossible to carry, for me anyway. Right, clothing-wise, I do recommend a cap, because of the sun. Okay, because of the sun. This is my personal preference. Okay, I wear one set of things, obviously, and then I bring two extra sets. That's my way of looking at it, okay? I bring two extra sets. And so altogether I have three sets, and that should suffice in terms of underwear and also outer clothing. Okay, that's how I do it. The reason being, every night, no matter how tired I am or I became, I always force myself to do the washing. That's one thing that you have got to, well, some of you anyway, have got to train yourself in doing. No washing machines. You have got to wash it by hand, right? I'm sure that someone can't do it. So
it'll be dry in the morning?
It'll be dried within 24 hours, normally.
Iron?
I'm not going to answer that question. Okay, normally what happens is you wash it before you go to bed, you hang it up, okay? By the next time you need a shower, that's 24 hours later, it'll be ready.
Do you bring your own detergent?
I bring a little bit to last me for a couple of days. And I use the local one.
You use local?
I use local. But again, it depends on your preferences. Yes.
How about the pillows? Coming back to the bedding.
Can I come back to that?
Oh.
Right, okay. modern comforts, eh? So I bring a clothesline with me just in case I have nowhere to hang the clothes. But I mean, it's up to you. I'm just telling you what I do, okay? Because that's what most people are interested. What do you bring? What do you not bring? Do I need to bring this? Do I need to bring that? And things like that, okay? And so I do wash my clothes. And my experience dictates that although I have three sets, one on myself and two in my bag, okay? Normally, I just use two sets. That's what the set number one and number two. The number three is always the spare. So I just use the 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Sometimes you become so tired, or sometimes at certain locations you just do not have the opportunity to wash. So I have 1-2, and then I've got to move on to 3. But you know, if you want to wash two sets in one night, particularly after a whole day under the sun, you've been working, it becomes very tired. Okay, so unless like someone names withheld, you don't wash your clothes. No, that's up to you. I mean, I like a clean set every morning, okay? But some people don't put on clean sets every morning. They might be able to do that. I'm not going to tell you how long, but never mind. So it's your personal preference, okay? But that's what I do, all right? And for sisters, okay? Please pack skirts, long skirts down to the ankle, okay? In the beginning, when I first went, okay, you will find no female wearing trousers whatsoever. Only female who wear trousers are what they termed as a bad woman. All right, I'm not going to explain that. All right, but now,
can you explain trousers
here?
Trousers,
pants,
trousers, pants, slacks, or whatever you like to call it. Oh, people, do I need an interpreter? But now, okay, now in the big cities, because more and more people are now going back to Africa to rebuild the homeland or whatever, okay, use whatever analogy you like, okay, and because of the influence of TV and internet and things like that, more and more women are now wearing jeans and sort of more appropriate, not appropriate, but more similar to what we're wearing. But I think if you have the opportunity to go to villages and etc., I would recommend. Of course, you can wear whatever you want to wear, as in Paul says, you can eat or do whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter. But I think in order to show respect to them, I always recommend sisters wearing skirts that are sort of ankle-length and skirts and not mini, okay?
Is it more appropriate to wear ankle-length?
Sorry?
It's more sort of appropriate to wear ankle-length.
Most sisters that you encounter will wear either a two-piece or a one-piece up to ankle-length. So you will blend in. Well, not really. You won't blend in, but... Sorry?
I don't have any ankle-length skirts.
No, I'm just recommending. You, whatever you want to do, that's your problem, okay? Not mine. I don't have any ankle-length skirts either.
Right, okay. For sisters. Now, this is going to be controversial, but I will stick my neck out anyway. Okay? Because, frankly, I have the pleasure of being accompanied by 8 volunteers in my lifetime so far. All right? 4 sisters and 4 brothers. So I do have some insight into what sisters should or should not do. Where is it? Where was I? Yes, for sisters, okay? In the beginning, very recently, they still maintain that they still put on the veil. Okay, what we call basically head covering. Okay, so basically for you girls, it would be just like a scarf that you sort of cover your head. All right, okay? Although we told them that according to the Bible, you don't have, you know what I mean. But however, they still questioned, and they feel, although they understand you come from foreign country, they would respect you for doing whatever you want to do, okay? But my personal opinion is always when in Rome, do as the Romans do, and particularly if you make someone uncomfortable, regardless of who someone is, I myself becomes uncomfortable as well, so it's just something personal, okay? So if the sisters put on some kind of head covering, they would be more at ease.
And they wear a cap.
Not a cap. No, definitely not a cap, okay? It's only during service. Okay. There was this case when I was in a certain place. Okay, we go into a family and we need to pray. Okay, we visit a sister and the sister say, "Don't pray yet." She couldn't find the hand covering. We could only pray after she found the covering. Then we knew that and pray. So we explained from the biblical viewpoint, etc. But they still felt that during their worship, including prayer, they still need to put on some kind of head covering. Okay, so I'm sure that other preachers will have different opinions, but I'm sticking my neck out. But that's what I always do anyway: stick my neck out and be chopped. Right, medication. Right, apart from anti-malarial drugs that I talked about just now. Right, okay. You've got to remember that fake drugs do prevail in third world countries, right? So do not rely on local drugs, please, please, please. So bring whatever you think you need with you, okay? Whether it's for headache, diarrhea, or whatever. It's better to bring more than... So I'm a man of little faith. I will put my hands up, okay? So it does come in handy. To be quite honest, most of the time, my paracetamol and all the things is consumed by the local members rather than myself. No, that's quite honest. Because sometimes they cannot afford the drugs, okay? So sometimes they fell ill, or we have a headache, we have a fever, or pastor, or brother, or whatever. What can you do for us? Then you just, you pray for them, of course, but you also try to help them and give them 2 tablets or whatever. So most of the time, the stuff is consumed by others rather than myself, but I do bring some supply with me,
okay,
and that sort of helps just in case of emergencies, right? And of course, but I always at least bring some ointments just for insect bites. Although we try to prevent being bitten by any form of insects, you will be bitten one way or another. So it will become itchy, it will be red or whatever. So it's always wise to bring something that you know will work on insect bites. For you personally, it could be different brands, different types, whatever. Okay, so that's that. Insect repellent, of course, you have got to bring insect repellent. You can use natural ones or artificial ones. Those who are from Taiwan can make use of Jiang Lao Yao. Jiang Lao Yao. That's one of the favorite of preacher Timothy Young, but I mean, I'm not going to get in that. He gets supply from Taiwan. I don't. So
Hay fever.
Okay, I suffer from hay fever. Okay, I don't suffer hay fever in Africa. However, I do bring my hay fever tablets with me because hay fever, by definition, is actually antihistamine, so it's anti allergy. Okay, so just in case I got some kind of allergy, might got nothing to do with hay fever whatsoever, I have that type of medicine at hand. And for a few times, it saved my life, but I mean, it does help. Okay, no, because you never know what you get allergic to. It's impossible to tell, and sometimes it just comes on. I'm sorry, it says the time's up. I'm sorry.
It's not
time. It's not time, right? Okay. So that's the medication. So you have to bring that with you.
Yeah. One question.
Go on.
Regarding bringing not drugs or medicines into the country to the customs.
You're not going to bring boxes and boxes of it with you, are you? I mean, you just bring your supply.
Yeah, but they usually got about 4 or 5 already.
No, that's all right.
It's for your own use.
It's for your own use. That's all right. That's no problem. You know, you're not going to bring a big box load of it. You know, you just bring your own adequate supply and you can explain it away anyway.
You just put it in your hand luggage?
I put it in the hold anyway. Or if it either in the hold or in my luggage.
Okay. And do we need to bring water sanitizing pills if you drop the pill?
Personally, no.
No, you don't need
personally,
to.
No.
The water is...
I'll get to food and water if I have time in a minute.
What's a sanitizing pill?
It's a purification tablet.
Do we have that here?
Yes, we do.
Go to his camping shop to
yes,
find them.
Good. Right. He's never camped
food.
Before.
Go to there.
Right, okay. Okay, in that case, I'll get into food and water, okay? Water is very important. You do need water every day, okay? You do need food every day as well, I suppose. For drinking water-wise, okay, wherever you go, most probably you would need to buy your water, okay? So if they're bottled water, that's fine, that's no problem, okay? In Ghana, you also buy those, what do we call it, distilled water, and those water that has gone through UV filtration, okay? So those can be brought locally. Unless you are in remote village for a prolonged period of time and you ran out of water, then you have no option to drink the local water. And we have Dick and Luke and other people who have drank local water and survived, so it's not that bad. In terms of purification tablets, I personally don't use it. I don't know of any preachers who bring along with them, but if you want to bring along, that's fine. But it's very rare. Okay. The only thing that you do is just to keep a small bottle with you and just keep topping it up from big bottles. If you see what I mean. Unlike this seminar where everyone drink the small bottle, throw that in the bin and get another small bottle. Okay. What in Africa you do is you get a small bottle or slightly bigger, either a liter, depends on your water consumption. But you have a bottle, okay, you finish it and then you just keep topping it up. Okay,
so you buy
it's cheaper in everywhere you go. It's cheaper, of course, to buy in bulk. So if you buy the 5 liter bottles rather than 10 of these, you know, it works out much cheaper. And just keep on topping it up anyway. Okay. So that's water. And in any case, if they offer you something to drink, as long as you're sure that it has been boiled, it should be okay. As long as you make sure it's been boiled, it should be alright. Okay. If you go to Kenya, the national drink is tea with a lot of sugar. That brings me to food and drink combined, okay? Because of their diet and the food that's available to them, they tend to put a lot of sugar into their tea for energy, glucose, and etc., etc., okay? So you will definitely find it extremely sweet. So, and they prepare the tea as tea leaves, milk, sugar, everything blanked into one, okay? So they pour it out. So normally what I do is to politely tell them that, you know, I can't, it's too sweet, and, you know, ask them either... That's no problem, because they would just make a pot without sugar, and by the time the tea is passed around, everyone just add sugar according to the old measure rather than one big pot. Now, that would suit you much better, because then according to your own taste, you can. But everything that is boiled is okay. Make sure that everything is boiled, that would be all right. Okay. Having said that, you know, no matter how careful you are with food and water, someone inevitably did end up with diarrhea. Thank God I never met that, and I want to keep it that way. Thank you. But that's why diarrhea tablets do comes in handy sometimes, although in severe cases, I mean, that's beyond the help of the tablets. And that's another story. But that's what happened. Food wise, they know that our staple diet is rice. Okay, so to the best of their ability, they will cook rice, and rice is available. Rice is available. And time is up. So, I think that's about it. Sorry? Have I missed anything?
Just
I'm just one third down the down my list. No, I think honestly, okay. Either we find some other time outside the lessons to talk about this if you're interested.
No,
or
I think you should type it and give us a copy.
Yeah. I can't type it because it's just points. Point. This is just point.
Put it on the disc.
But I think everyone is interested in different. I think everyone is interested in different areas. Or you have different worries and you have different things, and that's why it's. I don't like putting things to paper anyway.
Continue.
But
how many more minutes do you need?
What about the next lesson?
No. I don't want to take up the other lessons.
Can you go through your notes quickly, just that, but not the subject you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, okay. Okay, I was talking about food and drink. The next one on the list will be accommodation, transport, weather, electricity, local customs, money matter, communication matters, tourism, sightseeing, gadgets, entertainment, or the lack of it. I also have prepared, well, not prepared, but I have got some items which I think are essential to bring, and there are items that you definitely do not want to bring. No need to bring. Because I know, because as I said, you know, I work with 8 volunteers, okay? I know people who bring stuff, who come back and says, you know, why don't you tell me earlier that I don't need to bring that? I've been dragging that, you know, throughout my trip without using it once, you know, so that's that. And then I've got some notes basically talking about how to deal, our relationship with our local brothers and sisters, you know, what we can expect from them, what they expect from us, personal financial matters, projects, requests, our teachings, you know, and things like that.
Could you please write it down and send it to us?
It's
pretty useful. It's just too lengthy. Then if you send it to us, if people have any questions, then they could just email it to you.
Okay. I'll try my best then. This okay.
Only if
I have time. Yes. Okay. I think so. But I'm for those who are in the UK, I'm always at the end of the phone. And for those who are not in the UK, I think the point really is, you know, the way that I used to work is, you know, when volunteers are to go, they come to talk to me, you know, I sort of talk to them on a one-to-one basis. Because, frankly, everyone's circumstances, their like and dislike, their need are different. And I would much prefer, I mean, I don't mind the time because I've got plenty. although we all have 24 hours a day. I do spend a lot of time if people are willing to listen to my babbling, you know. And I do talk to people, in detail about their particular circumstances, because I think that would be more useful. And they can ask questions, and I can deal with their concern. Because someone might be very, very scared of, for example, mosquitoes. Then we spend a long time discussing that part, okay? But someone couldn't care less about insects or cockroaches or rats or whatever. Then we don't need to touch on that, or just need to mention, you know. So everyone do have, you know, different ideas. One thing: put all your preconceptions aside. Okay, your idea of Africa and the idea of Africa that you heard from the preachers will be definitely very different from your own impression. The thing that the impression that you get from news images are always bad news. Africa is the greenest continent that I've ever been. It's not full of deserts. It's very, very fertile. Okay? The weather is bearable. It's not as hot as it is. Once I was nearly, I wouldn't say frozen to death, but I was extremely cold.
What's the temperature?
I don't know what the temperature is once, you know, because that's why my recommendation in terms of clothing and things like that, do pack a windbreaker with you. In the past, I go with short sleeves, but because then you will get sunburned. Okay, so now it's no matter how hot it is, it's always long sleeves just to avoid the sunburn. So these are the windbreaker would double up as I would when I sleep, it will always be my side just in case, you know, during the night it becomes cool. Because Nairobi, for example, is cool, it's cold, okay, and so in at night in the hotels you do have blankets because it is so cold. All right, okay, and that's why in some of the photos you see people wearing jackets or leather gear or whatever. To them, is cold. To us, is comfortable. Okay, so it's different ideas. Anyway, I think I better end here. Otherwise, I'd be slaughtered. Right, okay. Any other questions? I'd be more than willing to deal with it. Either later on if we have time or individually, as it is. Okay. So thank God. Maybe we'll end it with a silent prayer.